If you knew what your true yes was and what your true no was in all areas of your life, would you be able to choose faster and easier? What futures would those choices create? Everyone is capable of connecting to their bodies in a way to have more exuberant and joyful living now and in the future. Now, here is your host of Choosing a Different Future with Ceres.
Hello, everyone. I'm Ceres Raquel Rivas Verdejo, and you're joining us here on Choosing a Different Future with Ceres. Today's topic is part two, count it, part two of Limitless Azúcar, When Worlds Collide, and we're going to have other Limitless Azúcar episodes, but this is number two, and it's going to be juicy. In case I'm new to you, I am Ceres, like I said, and I'm a family and child coach, and I'm also a speech-language pathologist, therapeutic energy worker, and the creator of the Living and Dying Body Process, where we actually get to, with all of those different things, look at your gifts, look at your strengths and interests, and ensure that whoever you're interacting with, that you're honoring yourself and respecting yourself, while also honoring them to create an exuberant, awesome life that lights you up, that you're like, oh my gosh, I get to have this life? Yes, how lucky am I? And on top of that, we have some awesome things that we're gonna be talking about today. But before we get into that, I want to make sure that you know of some of our upcoming events. Our Expansive Energies group, we meet every 2 weeks for 45 minutes to do group therapeutic energy work sessions. And we have a different theme every month. We just finished with the shape-shifting of healing your past trauma. And then this month is going to be about how much healthier can we be? How much healthier can we be? Because it's very much a collaborative effort in these groups where we get to receive from each other and even more from ourselves. And I forgot to mention it in our last calls earlier this year, all throughout 2023, until I say otherwise, we're offering a free first month in the Expansive Energies group. And all you have to do is register, and then you'll get back that first month's registration just by emailing us at empoweringlightlanguage@gmail.com and mentioning this podcast. This is only for first-time participants in the Expansive Energies group, so you can get a little bit of a taste of the energies and what it can create for you to prioritize your self-care. We also just had the Awakening class in January. Our next one is Saturday, June 24th. Be on the lookout for that. And we started the Being a Different Possibility for Families monthly calls. These are complimentary calls that delve into different topics each month for families. Our last one in January was self-care in families. Huge, great. I love all the questions that were sent in. Thank you. Thank you. And you can still get the replay at any time. You can email us directly to get the replay. And I think the link is still active on the website, the empoweringlightlanguage.com/events website. Our next two topics for those calls is love languages for your family in February this month, and in March, organization clearing and making space for the new. You know, this whole like maximizing on spring cleaning. You see what I'm doing there? So hope you join us for some of those topics. Now today's topic, Limitless Azúcar number two, When Worlds Collide. I'm going to read the description a little bit to remind ourselves of these energies of this series. It's a lovely little branch off to all of the different topics that we talk about on our show. In this series, we're looking at where our worlds have collided. Okay. Where we can also be a gift. Were you born in a different country? Were you exposed to different cultures during your childhood and wondered, how are we so different and so similar at the same time? And what if you could honor all those perspectives while discovering your own path and walking it with confidence? So we're actually going to be talking about me and my special guest, who I'm going to introduce in a minute, about our varied experiences when our worlds have collided through our childhoods, through our work with families and children, and also how it's actually impacted our realities, so that it seems like sometimes we're turned upside down and right side up and then back again. And so I'd love to introduce my guest, Zulma Iris Verdejo Carrion, and she's the owner of Serene Fusion LLC, where she educates people on practical alternative health practices in her workshops, coaching, and classes around the world. She empowers people to choose what will work for them and their unique body systems. Some topics include, but are not limited to, anti-aging, the NRF2 system, relaxation techniques, access consciousness, pediatric development, and autism spectrum disorder, to name a few. So Zulma's services are customized to her clients' specific needs, and she is committed to continually learn new techniques to be at the cutting edge for her business and her clients. She coaches those who desire financial freedom, more ease with their bodies, and greater clarity in their life. And you can connect with her by going to Serene Fusion, SERENEFUSION.lifevantage, LIFEVantage, VANTAGE.com. And you can also email her at serenefusion@gmail.com. The other thing about her that is part of why I invited her on here is she is my mom, my best friend, my ex-roommate, my travel companion and business partner. We do so many different things together, and we're going to be talking about our childhoods, our experiences in different ways. I also want to mention some feedback that we got from people. But first, hi, Ma!
Hi, how are you, everybody? I'm excited today. I was like listening to those yummy things that you're going to be doing. I can't wait.
Oh, yeah. And you've been a big role and a big part of me even being exposed to these things, of me choosing this path that I'm on. But I want to share with you some of the feedback that we got from our last part one of the Limitless Azúcar.
Tell me all.
All right. So as for everyone that's listening, as we delve into our childhoods and our experiences educating children and families, you know, keep in mind your childhood, your interactions with people, how your worlds have maybe collided and come apart and reformed into something else. Okay. And we're going to be talking about ways in which we have created beyond what was expected and projected of us so that we can make our life as sweet as possible at any given moment. And that's what Limitless Azúcar is all about. Just a reminder, it's about how much sweeter can we have this, right? And so we're gonna reference that every once in a while. Grab your tea, grab your coffee. In our description, we talked about some of the cafecitos and things like that. Hi, abuela, where you're here mm-hmm. with us energetically.
Abuelo. Mm-hmm.
Yes, abuelo, all of that. So some feedback, Ma, bookmark the last one. You can find any of the Limitless Azúcar episodes by searching Limitless Azúcar under the Choosing a Different Future show. Some people said, I've known you for years and years, and I learned so many new things about y'all that I didn't know before. So I thought that was pretty cool. It's like, And here's the thing, you've known me my whole life, and you're still learning new things about me. There's not a week that passes that we don't talk, and I'm still learning from you and with you all the time. So I get that, and I think that that's really, really cool. So thank you for that message. Somebody else messaged saying, hey, what's with the Spanglish? I miss you guys chatting in both English and Spanish. It's really fun. It helps me practice my Spanish, and how do y'all do that?
Some people get annoyed by that too.
Yeah. Y eso es el problema de ellos. You know, if they are annoyed, eso es para ellos. So right?
That's whatever. Yeah, turn the page.
Yes. Pues podemos mezclar un poco de español hoy. We're going to mix in a couple of Spanish phrases.
Exactly.
Just for you, listener, thank you for the message. And I don't know if you want me to mention this, but let me know. One of your ex-husbands was listening on our last episode. Surprise!
I heard.
And so he was surprised that we mentioned him and we gave him a shout out. So hi, wherever you are, if you're listening in again. That's part of being willing to be vulnerable and open and not have any of these things that we're hide about ourselves. We're rolling the dice. There are definitely some people that may listen to some of the things that we say, and they have in the past, and be upset. But he actually was really cool about it. It was just like, I think he said something like, oh, I was blushing, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes. And you know, and we are communicating now. Even, you know, we went to Chicago a few weeks ago, and he's getting better. I saw your father, he saw me, and he came with his girlfriend, and he kissed me, say, hi, Zulma, how are you? I was on the cheek,
to be clear.
On the cheek, yes, on the cheek, yes.
We don't need to start any trouble with his girlfriend. Like,
no. And I was like, he kissed me. We, you know, and I received it. I was, you know, I didn't have a charge of like, what the hell are you doing? It was like, okay. And then when he left, he came back and he said, you know, so he feels comfortable now. We feel comfortable together. I saw him dancing. There was some charge when he was dancing there with her.
Do you want to talk about that? Like,
yes, I can talk about that. Yes. You know, let's bring it on.
Yeah, let's go for it. Yeah.
full disclosure. So when we were married and we were dating, we were dancing all the time. We would go to weddings, parties, dancing. And I love dancing. This is one of my thing. And we got married. We got married and there was a wedding. Oh no, God, you go by yourself. He will say that. And parties, christenings, and I was by myself. And in Puerto Rico, I'm married. Married men will not ask me to dance. And then the drunk people, I remember people, you know, guys that were drunk asking me to dance. And I got so upset that, you know what, I'm married, my husband dances, and I'm here exposed to this. And I'm not having fun. People were, you know, there were couples and couples. So mm-hmm. I saw him dancing and I was like, you are dancing. Yeah. When we were married, you were.
Where did that go?
So,
yeah. Uh-huh. And then, okay, you can bring it up again for this other person, but where was that when I wanted it?
Exactly.
Yeah.
So that was like kind of crispy there.
Mm-hmm. But then I saw you dancing out there. With me, yes. With my brother, with some other men, some very handsome men asked you out to dance. So I think you worked it out.
Exactly. It got fixed.
Well, the other thing, you know, that reminds me of something that we mentioned a little bit in our last chat was how when you are getting married, it's different worlds colliding. You're bringing two worlds. You're bringing two different cultures together. You're bringing two families together. And how those work together can be a bit uncomfortable, intense, dramatic, sometimes even problematic. And it's interesting that in this example that you were just mentioning, it seemed like, okay, they came together, and then what came together wasn't exactly what you wanted or desired almost immediately after you got married. It's like, wait a minute, but is this what I signed up for?
What happened? What happened? What changed? Because, you know, we had a ball and he's a good dancer.
Yeah. He
you know, he's from the Dominican Republic. He's the merengue. You know, so all of a sudden, what happened? Yeah. So, yeah.
Well, and I can speculate a little bit on what it is now. I mean, you can chime in. But I remember, fast forward many years, you're in your third marriage, I think it was. And you went to a church. Correct me if I'm mistaken, you went to a church, like a Christian church with your third husband, Robert, and you came back and there was the pastor you told me all about, and I still think about this to this day, maybe you remember what I'm talking about, where the pastor talked about the three things that men need and the three things that women need. And one of the things that women, that is a consideration for women, that he highlighted was the deal is never done. Do you remember that?
Yes, the deal is not done.
Mm-hmm. The deal is never done. And so how I took that was, don't just assume, okay, you've gotten to whatever milestone. For some people, it's getting engaged. For some people, it's moving in together. Some people, it's getting married or having a kid. When all of a sudden you get complacent and you start taking the person for granted, you don't maybe put as much effort into how you dress, how you flirt, how often you have sex, all these different things. And I think that was kind of what happened with Bobby there a little bit. was he kind of was like, okay, the deal's done, we're married, and maybe I don't need to put as much of an effort.
And then what they went into explaining more than that, they said, men pretend that they're looking for a car. They go in the internet, they read about it, they look at the models, the engine, and they do a search, and then when they add the color, so when they are ready, they buy the car. Mm-hmm. So in the marriage, and then they sit down. So in the marriage, say you bring them flowers, take mm-hmm. them to eat dinner, to the movies, etc. And then when you marry person, the deal is not done. She fell in love with you when you were bringing flowers, when you were attentive, when you were holding hands, mm-hmm. all those yummy things that were happening. And now you got married and then you sit down and you watch TV. That deal is done. I got the price. I got the car. I got the wife. And no, it's not. I think that's what happened. Thank you for reminding me about that.
I think about it all the time. Like we can talk about it more, but it's time for our first break of the show. And when we return, we will continue to discuss some of the other ahas that we've gotten over the course of our relationships when worlds collided, and some examples of our work with children and families as well with this. So you're listening to Choosing a Different Future with myself, Ceres, on the Inspired Choices Network. When we return, we will continue to discuss Limitless Azúcar number 2, When Worlds Collide with Zulma Verdejo Carrión. We'll be right back.
Most people haven't been taught how to listen and partner with their bodies in order to create lives that include clarity, pleasure, ease, and connection. Tuning in to Choosing a Different Future with Ceres, you'll receive tools, inspiration, and resources on how to use your awareness of bodies and energy to your advantage. Ceres is a family and child coach and therapeutic energy worker who will guide you to get clear and acknowledge what's brilliant, magical, and a gift about you.
Are you a subject matter expert? Are you here to share your expertise with an audience waiting to hear from you in only the way you can deliver? Are you ready to have your voice amplified across the airwaves? Inspired Choices Network has a global radio platform streaming to millions of people across the world. Professionally produced and supported by an accomplished team every step of the way, you can broadcast from anywhere in the world, knowing your voice matters, and we ensure it is delivered with ease and efficiency. Eager to hear your message, the world awaits. Contact us today to become an Inspired Choices Network radio host. Email becomeahost@inspiredchoicesnetwork.com.
This is the Choosing a Different Future show with Ceres. To participate in the program, join the live studio audience in our chat room at inspiredchoicesnetwork.com. Connect with Ceres through her website, empoweringlightlanguage.com, or send an email to empoweringlightlanguage@gmail.com. Now, back to the program.
Welcome back, everyone. I am Ceres Raquel Rivas Verdejo. I'm Choosing a Different Future with Ceres. And today our show topic is Limitless Azúcar number 2, When Worlds Collide with Zulma Verdejo Carrión. Make sure to connect with us on all of our platforms. We are on any podcast and smart TV platform, and you can connect with us through the ICN, the Inspired Choices Network app, on any smart TV or device. And make sure to subscribe as well. We love making sure that you don't miss any of this wonderful content and all these amazing guests that we have on the show. Our show is brought to you by True Science Activated Liquid Collagen. Liquid collagen is a different, better collagen supplement. Get real results that you can see and feel. And to get $10 off of your first order and get access to verified before and after photos, email us at empoweringlightlanguage@gmail.com with the subject line liquid collagen. Otherwise, you can explore the links that are connected with this episode so that you can purchase your own activated liquid collagen to activate your health. Now, before we went on break, we were talking about some of the ahas from your marriage to my dad, and also some of the feedback from our guests. I love that. Yes, there was a lot about the deal is never done that I've definitely encountered. And it's interesting because that also brings up the last marriage, your last marriage that we didn't really get to talk about in the last episode. Do you want to go there? Are we going there today? Is that a yes?
Yes, I feel better now. Because when you were asked me the first time, it was like I went into the judgment and the thinking of all the things that I've done. And I've been married 3 times and people know about it. And the shame and the no shame. And well, yes, the third marriage. What do you want to know about it? Let's go there.
Let's own it. Because here's the other thing too, is that I remember perceiving that in you. And for me being like, oh, that was a lot of lessons, a lot of information for you and for me, for definitely my siblings too. And I just want to acknowledge, in case I've never have before, like how much I've learned from seeing you choose differently, get out of your comfort zone, like constantly the not giving up on the idea of love, even with all of the experiences you've had. You are probably the most romantic person I know, the most positive person I know. And you didn't let any of your relationships, be it from with family or romantic relationships, dim that light within you. And I think that that's just really, really commendable. So
thank you. You know what? I was thinking about how being married 3 times and being that, that you're saying have affected my kids, have affected you. How has that, you know, and you're telling me now, I said, you know what, how I didn't see it as much as a positive, but as a wow, you know what, you know, is Siri not married because of me? Is Siri and Mia not married because of what the choices, I can't even say it, that I have made. In my family, I'm the only one that has been divorced 3 times. Yes, many people have relationships, and I got married. To tell you the truth, it was as a Catholic good woman, you don't have sex, as you know, unless you're married.
Yeah.
So thank you for that. So has that this affect you in any way, your vision of marriage?
Oh, for sure, for sure, for sure. And I think that the question, I love that you asked, okay, is Siri's not married because of me? I think you should reframe it. And this is how I've reframed it for myself. So this is really interesting because I don't think I've ever told you this, but is Siri's not divorced because of me? That's a very different question, right? Like,
gracias. Like, completamente diferente.
Right. And, you know, estoy tan agradecida. I'm super happy about that. I'm really grateful for that because, like, I could just be as easily been married and divorced, and I learned, and I've been choosier, and I was looking at sometimes a little bit earlier in my dating life, maybe a little too willing to work too long, and to, because I saw all the effort that marriage takes, and I did not have any illusions about that. And I also was like, well, if relationships take work, let's see how much work. And sometimes I just went a little above and beyond. But I actually think that me not being divorced, I'm going to give you credit for that. And that's a great thing. And also, like, yes, it's not better if you're married or not, especially if you're married and you're miserable in marriage. Not about that, not choosing that, not having that. So I know that if I ever do get married, and I'd like to, I'm open to it, it's with eyes wide open, with no illusions about who I'm with and what we can create together, and the communication being there and all these different things. And I think us being so communicative and you being so vulnerable about what worked and what didn't work in your relationships and what you learned from each of them has really empowered all of us, but I'll at least speak about me, to ask those questions of ourselves and of our potential partners and then recheck. Mm-hmm. That's the other thing. Like, I know that you had a lot of conversations, especially after the first and second marriage, that you were like, okay, I want to ask more questions before I get married. And it's interesting because I think some of them told you one thing and then they executed something else when you were actually in the relationship.
Exactly.
Would that be accurate? Mm-hmm.
Yes, and I asked questions that I was clear, and that they answered the questions, or he answered the questions that he was a salesman, so he knew what to say and how to say it. Mm-hmm. That convinced me. I have the other tools now. I have Access Consciousness. I have energy work tools that I'm using now to see that's true. The answers are the real truth. Mm-hmm. But at that time, yes, I was told, and everything was fine and happy, and that deal was over.
Well, and talk about the deal. Yeah, that's the theme, right? Is the deal done? No, wait a minute. So I don't want to take too much time on that last marriage, honestly. One, because I don't particularly like him. No. And two, out of all of them, he's the one I have no interest in really spending much energy and time on. But I would like to know, if you had a takeaway from what you've learned from your relationship so far, and especially these marriages, what did you learn from them about yourself and about like how to manage different worlds coming together?
I don't have to get married at that, you know, with the first person, you know, to have sex. That's one of the first, you know. Like, yeah.
You mean you can have sex out of marriage? That's allowed.
Exactly.
Now? That's the 1950s.
So yes. Yeah. So I don't have to rush. There's no have to be any rush. Do a lot of dating. They get to know the person, the real person. You know, in 1 or 2 months, it's like it's not enough, and to have to enjoy myself, to be happy.
Yeah, I think over the course of both of us dating, we've talked about how we need to travel with the person, because travel is such a big part of our lives and something we enjoy so much, and have soup with them.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you can't stand how they slurp or drink their soup, you're going to be hearing that for decades. So make sure that that's cool. There was something else Abuela would say. I'm trying to remember. Do you remember what else? Did you would say the travel, the half soup? There was something else. Maybe it'll come back.
What have you learned from the different relationships that you have had? Because I have had a few. You have had a few as well.
I mean, I started dating at 11.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, you heard that correctly, everyone. 11. And my first relationship was with Jose Martinez. Hi, Jose, if you're listening. I'm going to assume all the exes are listening after the last one. And one of the things that I learned was that, yes, relationships take work, but it also takes so much more than just work and love. I basically just had it love and work, and everything else was going to work out. And what I've gotten the big ahas about, it's about communication. It's about being willing to evolve and shift together and be still moving in a same direction instead of moving and there's not those touch points where you're reconnecting and nurturing. If there's not humor and, you know, and giggles and laughs in and out of the bedroom, I'm not about it. I have no interest in it. It's not fun for me. And I've definitely been in those relationships where it didn't have that. And so I'm like, because that's what's going to get you through all of the really challenging moments is that humor. It's the emotional lubricant to get you through the up and down and the upside down. Yeah.
And as we're talking about two worlds, and I listen to you talking, it's like there are two different worlds. How is learning how can we combine a few of the things or some of the things that we both like and enrich that as we are enriching and getting to know the differences, because they're going to be differences, like, and you don't want to change the person.
Mm-hmm.
So that's tricky
a big
part.
Thing, the not changing the person. I was never someone that wanted to change my partner. And so when I would talk to my friends and they would say stuff like that, I was like, I'm sorry, what's going on here? I definitely had this idea of that I was dating for potential for a really long time instead of what was really possible and what was really there. So if I was dating somebody right now and I would say, and I catch myself saying, oh, well, when they do this later or when they get better with this, da, 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 I was like, no, this is, if I'm not okay with who they are right now, and that being that person for the next couple of years into the couple decades, then I shouldn't be considering marriage with them. I shouldn't be considering a long-term relationship with them. Maybe I'm not ready for that then, for that yet, or they're not ready for me yet. But the idea of changing someone was like, I had to look at that because I was looking at potential, and that still assumes that they might change.
Exactly.
Even if I wasn't trying to change them yet. And that's
that. And how many relationships have you been in which they are expecting you to change?
So many. you had that as well.
Exactly.
You had that as well. Where it's, you know, and you raised a very independent, very forthright, honest woman. And so sometimes people would be like, oh, maybe she'll be more traditional over time, or she'll be a little less opinionated. And I was like, ha, 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 ha. No,
nope, that's not going to be
going anywhere.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
But it started with the middle school dating, and also a lot of other things happen in middle school that maybe we can get into after this next break of worlds colliding, because just like when you first moved to the United States and you were never Black until you were in the United States, I didn't know who I was ethnically, racially, all these different identities until all the questions that I started getting asked in elementary mm-hmm. school and in middle school. Yeah, that was a tough time, as I think many people can relate to. So let's go for our next break and we'll talk some more about that. When we return, we're going to talk about some more childhood, some more middle school stuff. Some of them are work with families and children. You are listening to Choosing a Different Future with Cities, with myself, Cities, on the Inspired Choices Network. And when we return, we will continue to discuss Limitless Azúcar number 2, When Worlds Collide, with Zulma Verdejo Carrion. We'll be right back.
See you.
Most people haven't been taught how to listen and partner with their bodies in order to create lives that include clarity, pleasure, ease, and connection. Tuning in to Choosing a Different Future with Ceres, you'll receive tools, inspiration, and resources on how to use your awareness of bodies and energy to your advantage. Ceres is a family and child coach and therapeutic energy worker who will guide you to get clear and acknowledge what's brilliant, magical, and a gift about you.
Are you a subject matter expert? Are you here to share your expertise with an audience waiting to hear from you in only the way you can deliver? Are you ready to have your voice amplified across the airwaves? Inspired Choices Network has a global radio platform streaming to millions of people across the world. Professionally produced and supported by an accomplished team every step of the way, you can broadcast from anywhere in the world, knowing your voice matters, and we ensure it is delivered with ease and efficiency. Eager to hear your message, the world awaits. Contact us today to become an Inspired Choices Network radio host. Email becomeahost@inspiredchoicesnetwork.com.
This is the Choosing a Different Future show with Ceres. To participate in the program, join the live studio audience in our chat room at inspiredchoicesnetwork.com. Connect with Ceres through her website, empoweringlightlanguage.com. Or send an email to empoweringlightlanguage@gmail.com. Now, back to the program.
Welcome back, everyone. I'm Ceres Raquel Rivas Verdejo on Choosing a Different Future with Ceres. And today our show topic is Limitless Azúcar number 2, When Worlds Collide, with Zulma Verdejo Carrion. Our show is brought to you by True Science Activated Liquid Collagen. Liquid collagen is a different, better collagen supplement. Get real results that you can see and feel. And to get $10 off your first order and to get access to verified before and after photos, email us at empoweringlightlanguage@gmail.com with the subject line liquid collagen. So, my goodness, this is so cool. One of the things, so we started talking about before the break about middle school and dating and what we've learned about different worlds colliding in our relationship so far. I'd like to touch upon a little bit the race thing that we talked about in the last episode and delve a little bit deeper. It still blows my mind how much this plays out even to this day in my life. And yep. What I mean by that was, like, let's just frame it a little bit. So I went from Puerto Rico, everyone's Puerto Rican, and maybe some Dominicans and some other folk, but for the most part, everyone's Puerto Rican, and our full family on that side is Puerto Rican, to Chicago, where we were in really diverse schools. a lot of Latinos, but also I went to the Disney Magnet School.
And everything there.
I loved it, everything there. And then we move out to the suburbs around third grade, when I was in third grade. And I cried and I bawled and I was like, no, I want all my friends. Not knowing at the time that you were aware of something related to the Chicago public schools and just how it was going to impact our family. Do you want to talk about that a little bit real quick?
Well, I know that the schools that you were, the city of Mia and you were going to go to were around gangs and a lot of things. I'm a teacher. And you go to the school according to the neighborhood that you are at. And somehow I knew that you could go to some magnet schools for Sira Mia being physically handicapped. I was like, the school that she's going to go, the middle school and the high school that she's supposed to go to? Mm. No, there's no way. And yeah. As a mother, I was Black in the United States because people were asking me, what are you? I didn't know that you.
My favorite question, by the way.
I'm sorry?
My favorite question, what are you? It's so rude. Please don't ask people, what are you?
And then you went in middle school and I couldn't, how can I, it was a challenge even as a mother mm-hmm. to talk to you about, to give answers and to teach you how to be assertive and be proud. And so tell me a little bit, you went through things that.
Yeah. I mean, I really envied that you were with the same really close-knit people from kindergarten through end of high school, because mm-hmm. that was definitely not my childhood. So then in third grade, I was at, we were living in Hanover Park, Illinois, and then we moved to Streamwood. And around that time, around fourth grade, I went to the school that you were teaching in. So from fourth to sixth grade, you were teaching at Centennial Elementary. What? The Centennial yep. Elementary School. Kids and students, you're still in touch with a mm-hmm. lot of your students from then, and they were my same age, so it was really cool. And I wasn't in the bilingual classroom that you were a bilingual educator. I wasn't in the bilingual classroom. I was the only girl of color in my classroom, and then there was two Black boys, I think, in sixth grade. But before that sixth grade class, I was like the only person of color in my class, and that was a big abrupt change. Not only because I was the only person of color, but also it's a very affluent.
Exactly. School. Yes, I remember. Mm-hmm.
I remember we went to sleepover or something, or I went to someone's house and I raved about how they had a button for their toilet.
I dropped you off. And when I picked you up, you said, Mom, in front of the whole family, in this house, they have a toilet that you touch like this, and this happened like that, and then in the house, and the kitchen, and like that, and you couldn't stop, and the people were looking at you, and I was going to say, okay, honey, okay, let's go home now. I think that they even had horses.
Yeah, they did. Yeah, and depending on who I was visiting. And so I never saw myself as poor. I thought that we were, especially compared to our other families that were living literally in tin huts and with goats in the yard in the Dominican mm-hmm. Republic, I was like, we're good. We're super good. We had like rice, beans, and a meat more times than I wanted to, but we were fed. We were good. Mm-hmm. And then I went to these households and they're huge homes, way bigger. I was like, who needs all this space? Who's cleaning all of this?
Right? All those bathrooms.
All the bathrooms and all of the wallpaper. And I was just like, what is happening here? And I started seeing my difference in fourth grade and fifth grade and sixth grade. And then the bullying was also starting to happen around that time. And then in seventh grade, I went to another school that wasn't connected to that school that you were working in, because you weren't working in a middle school. And I only knew one person before going to that school, someone that you introduced me to through one of your teacher friends whose daughter was also going to that school. Do you remember this?
Exactly. Yeah.
Viviana. Hi, Viviana yeah. Martinez, wherever you are. And she was my only friend when I first started that middle school. And it was really scary because, again, I was in a really diverse environment, but it wasn't like the Disney Magnet School diverse. It was all of the Latinos were in gangs or some association with the gangs, and they were very poor. And they had a mom that stayed at home and did everything, and maybe a dad that worked if that was a situation that was more common. I had a mom and a dad that both worked. So I was already different there. Most of them were Mexican. I was not. So then the dialectical differences and the other cultural differences.
It's different. Out. Yep.
And then all of the Black kids were always all together, and I wasn't Black enough for them. So they were actually taunt me in the hallways, calling me yellow. And it really hurt because they looked like my family. Like, I am the lightest one in our family. Everyone else is darker than me. They would call me La Hincha. Abuela calls me La Hincha, which is the pale one. But I was like, oh, you look like my family, but you're not treating me like my family.
You're not accepting me, you know, like the family do. Yeah, I know. It's different. And then, you know what, the separation and como que te alinean.
Mm-hmm.
Te alinean.
Because,
can you translate that one?
They align you. They're starting to like put you in this one category and like differentiate you and create the separation between you and them. Yeah.
And you start guessing who you are, because as soon as I'm in the United States, in Puerto Rico, we were, you know, at home, at least at my house, say, oh, we never knew what color of child you were going to have.
Yeah.
I didn't know you were going to be.
It's like, here we go. It's like
guinea pig.
The roll of the dice. It was like those little, like those game pinwheels where like.
And then you say, oh my God, so we have a beanie. And like a bean that they go, oh, that meant when you call it, oh, she had a boy. It's like a beanie. And beanie, like, it was brown, it has color. And we're like, oh my God, that's so cute. La, la, la. And then I'm here, I'm like, I'm counting and looking around how many Black people are, how many dark skin are, how many light skin. Because then I felt like inferior, not intelligent. I have to prove myself. What about you?
Well, I actually was hiding how smart I was, because being smart was not valued in that middle school by the Latinos or the Black people. So I hid it. I was worried that I would get bullied even more if they saw how much of a dork and a nerd I was, that I was like loving books. I was constantly always had a book with me at all times, as you know, in wherever I was traveling. And I wouldn't share that side of me, with the exception of like one or two people. Viviana was one of them. And then Katie Early, who I'm still in connection with, she was a great friend then as well. And Pam Denowith, you know, I'm doing all the shout outs today, because literally
wherever you are.
Yeah, right. They saved my life, because I could actually truly be the complexity that I was with them. I could listen to both alternative rock music, because I was such a skater girl, and a lot of my really good friends and people I was having crushes on were skater guys. But then I also wanted to dance Latin music, and I was doing the merengue, bachata, and salsa. But I also was really into Greek mythology, and I didn't have to pick any one thing with my really, really close friends. And it really set the platform for what I started to look for more and more and more in friendships moving forward. If I had to walk on eggshells and only show one part of me, we weren't going to be friends. Sure. We weren't.
And one of the things I remember, you are in school and you're going from middle school to high school, and I'm looking at your grades and I'm thinking, why she has not been nominated for the honor roll classes for high school? And when I told you, you cried. You didn't want to go to the honor classes because you didn't want to lose your friends.
Yeah.
You knew that your friends were not going to be able to go, or some of them were not going to go to the honor classes. Yeah. And I said, okay, so I made a phone call and I did it. And then somehow you realized it. I remember you were in the bathroom crying.
I was pissed. I was mad hurt.
And then, but you talked to the teachers and you said, oh, mom, I talked to my teacher and she said that she forgot about it. She was overwhelmed with this and this and this, and that she's going to call and she's going to, you know, send the recommendations. And I was like, I already called the counselor and I talked to that counselor. But then it was a mix. I did it, but then you also realize it.
Yeah, there was a lot of conflictual messages and realities in my world at that time, because I wanted, as many teenagers and pre-adolescents want. I wanted my friends. I wanted to be accepted. I wanted to be included. I didn't want to be so different. And yet I knew I was. There was no getting around it. And so I finally started taking the steps to embrace it with a lot of nudging and support on your mm-hmm. part, with a lot of nudging and support from my teachers as well. My history teacher at the time, she was just a phenomenal woman. And she was like, you got this, you can do it. And there's so many teachers, both the ones that I was related to, like you and Bobby, but also the ones that I met along the path that also nurtured that in me and my willingness to stand out and be willing to be like, you know what, this is who I am, either take it or leave it. And really started leaning into that more and more. It still was years before I fully, truly embraced it, but that was the beginning for sure. Mm-hmm. Gosh, it's time for our, God, it's going by so fast. It's time for our next break already. When we return, we're going to continue to discuss everything and that we can fit in when it comes to when worlds collide still. You are listening to Choosing a Different Future with Cedis, with myself, Cedis, on the Inspired Choices Network. And we'll continue to discuss Limitless Azúcar number 2, When Worlds Collide, with Zulma Verdejo Carrion. We'll be right back.
Most people haven't been taught how to listen and partner with their bodies in order to create lives that include clarity, pleasure, ease, and connection. Tuning in to Choosing a Different Future with Cedis, you'll receive tools, inspiration, and resources on how to use your awareness of bodies and energy to your advantage. Cedis is a family and child coach and therapeutic energy worker who will guide you to get clear and acknowledge what's brilliant, magical, and a gift about you. This is the Choosing a Different Future show with Cedis. To participate in the program, join the live studio audience in our chat room at inspiredchoicesnetwork.com. Connect with Cedis through her website, empoweringlightlanguage.com, or send an email to empoweringlightlanguage@gmail.com. Now, back to the program.
Welcome back, everyone. I'm Cedis Raquel Rivas Verdejo on Choosing a Different Future with Cedis. And today our show topic is Limitless Azúcar number 2. So make sure to listen to the first one and all the other ones. And this topic is When Worlds Collide with my special guest, Zulma Verdejo Carrion, my mom, my business partner, my travel companion, and more. She is beyond definition. And we were talking about so many different things, including a little bit about my middle school and elementary school years when worlds were colliding. But you know what? Here's the thing. I don't want people to walk away with this episode before they realize this. This is super important. All of those experiences of bullying, all of those experiences of asking questions about myself and who I am, set that rhythm and that self-care practice in place. I still am asking myself, who are you today? Instead of assuming that it is any particular identity, any particular label. What's going to work for you today? What's bringing you joy today? What's not? What do we need to get rid of? What do we need to add? These were the conversations that came from all of these experiences of worlds colliding over and over and over again, instead of it being a bad thing and it being traumatic and an upheaval. It became so often and frequent, it built up this muscle of resilience.
That's exactly the word I was looking, that I was going to say, yeah, that one. Yeah, resiliency, yeah.
Yeah, I think that's one of the biggest gifts that you can give your kids is to expose them to a lot of different worlds, a lot of different perspectives, a lot of different people. And you did that. And so then when I was looking at what to do for a career, you were actually the one that was like, have you considered speech language pathology? I know this woman that does it in my school, and it has psychology, and it has language education.
I didn't remember that, but you know what?
You were the one that planted the seed. You see how you don't give yourself credit for stuff, Ma? I mean, like, if you were here in the same room, I would go
slap you. Another thing that I wanted to add besides that you're doing right now is like, I have a group in Facebook. It's on resilient and unapologetic.
Ooh, yes.
And yes, and that comes from, there are so many things that I can, you know, that I did that I might have not liked, but I shouldn't apologize for that. I didn't know any better. that's all I knew and that the best I could do. And if I change that, who am I going to be today? I'm going to be that person that I am today, that traveler, the person that likes to have fun. So that's why I created that group, and it started with my mom. So that she was complaining, you know, I should have. And I looked at her and I said, hey, you accomplished this, you accomplished that, and your kids are grown and they're independent, they're not working. You know, so these things, and you are the first person in your family, the women, and I think the only one of our sisters who learn how to drive until she was in her 90s. And I said, if you change the past, you wouldn't be the person, the strong woman that you are right now. Mm-hmm. And the only one that I own a home, you know, she, you know, her sister didn't own a home. So she had she was a homeowner. So resilient and unapologetic.
Well, and the other thing is that it's interesting you put it that way, because I always interpreted you calling the group that as I'm resilient and I need to, and there were a lot of things that I did that it's not only that you didn't know any better, that was absolutely the thing to do and nobody else was supporting you, but you did it anyway. And it created so much for your kids, myself included. It created so much for your students. It created so much for your family in the following generations. You were a pioneer. And so sometimes we need to be unapologetic about our choices because we're aware of something that's possible that maybe other people aren't quite willing to choose yet, but mm-hmm. by us being willing to choose it, we can take the lead, and then it opens these doors for the people that come after us. And that's definitely been the case with us so far. We're running out of time. We haven't even got to talk about the children and families things as much as we'd like, but guess what? We have another episode. We're thinking this is going to be a 6-part series. The next 2 parts are going to be on April 28th and June 30th. Mark your calendar, April 28th and June 30th. And it's going to be all about raising children with unique needs. We're going to talk about me and my siblings and our very, very different unique needs, but we're also going to talk about even more how we've been working with children and families, for my mom for decades, multiple decades, for myself a couple decades.
How do you feel?
Don't forget to email us to get your $10 off code for your first order of any LifeVantage products, including the activated liquid collagen. Next week's episode is going to be, do you have a fixing, saving, helping mentality? The description is, I'm going to read it really quick. What does it mean to function from a fixing, saving, helping mentality? If you consider yourself a problem solver, helper, giver, or healer, this episode is for you. If you know someone who dedicates themselves to working with marginalized, disadvantaged, or needy people, make sure they listen to this show. There's a slippery slope between doing honorable deeds with a generosity of spirit and compulsively, unconsciously deciding to fix, save, and help the world. Looking at the internal motivations that may be guiding your choices and what it truly creates is the first step to empowering yourself and others with your actions. So in that next episode, I'll be guiding everybody to get clear on who we would be and what we would choose beyond the fixing, saving, helping mentality so that we can use our energy and our time, our resources more elegantly, efficiently, and consciously. And if you'd like to ever schedule a consultation with me, I offer 45-minute consultations for $50. And there is a link in this episode for that and a link in most episodes, including the podcast. If you ever have any questions, you can email me at empoweringlightlanguage@gmail.com. Any parting words before we end the episode today, Ma? I know we're going to be talking again soon, but this was a lot.
It was a lot. Okay. No, thank you for being here. Thank you for listening. And I learned today more because a new day. I'm so excited. Yeah.
Yeah. I love that we continue to learn about each other and that we continue to grow in our connection. A lot of people have commented on that, and this is possible for you as well in your own way. Just know that. Thank you so much, everyone.
Feel of gratitude. Lots of gratitude. Thank you.
Thank you for listening to the Choosing a Different Future show. Series returns Fridays at 10 a.m. Eastern, 9 a.m. Central, 8 a.m. Mountain, and 7 a.m. Pacific on InspiredChoicesNetwork.com. Until then, keep choosing what will work for you and your body, your own unique way honoring what will work for you.